Are you a Gen Xer or maybe a elder millennial? Or maybe you're like me and you're kind of right in the middle of those two generations. You were raised in the generation of girls at the time who were told we could do anything. We could be anything. We could go out into the world and have incredible careers and raise families and build wealth and. We were told we could have it all. But then in our current lives, we start to realize, oh, having it all doesn't really feel possible. It feels exhausting. If that is you, then you are going to want to keep on listening to this conversation with Melissa Marazia, aka the Midlife Mentor for Gen X Women. We have such an incredible conversation around this tough spot that so many of us are finding ourselves in, where we are facing pressures internally to achieve as much as we were told we could, and externally between our careers and our families and caregiving and all of the pressures of the world. I hope you enjoy this conversation. Are you ready to grow from solopreneur to CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent the last decade helping women entrepreneurs start and scale service-based businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me each week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Hey, CEOs, I am so excited about this conversation because I feel like there is something that has happened to an entire generation of women that isn't talked about enough. If you are part of Gen X or the elder millennial, or like me, you're the kind of in between there. We've been called the Zennials. We've been called the Oregon Trail generation. If you were basically born in the 70s or 80s, which I know is a lot of the women who are listening to this podcast, not all of the women. I know we have some younger amazing CEOs and some older amazing CEOs, but you also have probably felt these pressures that I'm about to talk about with today's guest, these pressures of you can have it all. You can do it all. You can go out there and follow your passion and create this amazing success for yourself and do all the things. But what we weren't told when we were fed all of that messaging in our early, early development, we weren't told how hard it would be. We weren't told that even though we were achieving more and creating amazing careers or amazing businesses at never seen before rates, that there would still be inequality that we faced. There would still be inequity at home. There would still be all these other pressures that we were coming up against. And there was a huge pressure for so many of us, myself included, to do things the right way. And maybe this will resonate with you. I know I went to school and was very much indoctrinated into the idea that if you go to school and you get good grades and you go to college and you get good grades and then you go to get a master's degree and you get good grades, you land the fancy job and you finally make a great paycheck and then you buy the car and then you buy the house and then you get married and you have the family, you just keep checking the items off the list. And you do all these things, check, that you should be happy. And that was the secret to being successful, was just following this path laid out in front of us. But time and time again, I hear from women who that was not the case. We checked all the boxes, we did what we were told, and we still found ourselves unhappy. We found ourselves on a path that really wasn't a fit for us, that really wasn't aligned with who we really were. And it makes sense to me, looking at all the statistics about women in this generation, that the average age of a woman starting a business right now is 44. It tells me that a lot of us spend the majority of the first half of our life doing the things we were told we should do in the hopes that they would create a successful path for our future. And maybe it did create some success, but maybe at the expense of our happiness and our fulfillment. Well, today I am talking with Melissa Marazia, who not only has been an incredible client of mine, and it's been such a joy to watch her evolve as she has really stepped into this work, but she is just so incredibly insightful into the pressures that women have been facing in this stage of life. She is the midlife mentor who assists women to dig deeper into their spiritual lives, and she holds space through the different seasons that we're all experiencing. It might be life after grief, caring for the caretaker, a middle age upgrade. Through it all, she offers individualized support and techniques in alignment with each season and encourages women to slow down and lean in to listen to their instinct and innate wisdom. This conversation was so incredibly helpful. And the reminder to slow down and tune in is one that I know I need to hear on a regular basis. So I really, really hope that it is as insightful and inspiring for you to hear as it was for me to record for you. Hey there, CEOs. Welcome back to another amazing conversation. Today, I am joined by Melissa Marazia. I'm so excited that you are joining me today as the midlife mentor here to talk about all of the things that we are facing in this stage of our life and the stage of our business that can be contributing to what you have told to me is the coming burnout epidemic. So, Melissa, welcome.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, to dive in, I want to kind of set the stage of your journey and how you came to the work that you're doing as the midlife mentor. So, can you tell us a little bit about like the culmination of events that led you to this work?
Absolutely. So I was a yoga teacher, full-time yoga teacher for 18 years. And I had a studio and I was the only teacher in the studio. And I did a lot of community work and I loved it. Like every yoga teacher, we go into it because we really want to share the message of what we're doing and help people. But what I forgot in the equation was how to help myself. And when I went through my first stage of burnout, I remember taking a workshop. And every time I took a workshop, I came back rejuvenated and excited. But this time something felt off. And I remember telling a friend, like, I feel tired. And she was just like, uh-oh, burnout. And I didn't know what to do with it. So like a good soldier, I just ignored it and kept moving forward. But the problem was it then just kept reappearing. I would feel good for a little while. And then I would feel that sensation of burnout of just, and when I say burnout, how I define it is physical tiredness, creatively blocked and energetically frazzled. Mm-hmm. So it just feels like everything, nothing is in alignment with who we are and what we're doing. And I went through several stages of this. And by the time I was in my early 40s, I was caregiving for my parents. And I was working full time. And at that point, I was taking breaks, trying to reduce classes, but I was only doing this surface level work. Mm-hmm. And when it finally hit the fan, I had to stop. I had that, it almost felt like that movie moment of a voice saying, what would happen if you just stopped? And I remember hearing it so clearly. And I did. And that was the first time I leaned in and listened to that internal wisdom. And I had to make a huge shift. And I really tossed out everything I knew. And my work was, I did all this legwork on my own. I had a life coach at some point later on. I had a therapist going through a lot of this, but I did a lot of the work myself. And I started to say, well, I know if I go through it, other women are going through it. And maybe they don't have to throw out everything in order to recover from burnout. Is there a way that we can say, okay, this is where you are. How can we start to manage your day-to-day life while keeping a perspective on the bigger picture? And so that's what really had me shift from moving out of teaching yoga and into being a midlife mentor, is to help women to say, hey, let's take a moment to pause and dig into where we're at with support so that we can keep managing our day-to-day while looking at the bigger picture as well.
I love that. And I love that you really honed in on women in midlife, because I think we've all heard the typical male midlife crisis, which is, you know, go out and buy a convertible and get a girlfriend and do all sorts of things like that, trying to recapture lost youth. But I feel like for women, this midlife period is so different. We don't respond in that way. What is it that you see happening for women who are in midlife, who are in their, you know, headed towards their 40s and 50s, that is making us so stressed out?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And I think it's something that's we're starting to look at more in our culture, which is wonderful and exciting, because I remember personally, like, my mom going through that place where she just wasn't excited about, like, the kid. We were out of the house and she just couldn't find what was bringing her joy. And I remember thinking, like, just pick up the pieces, like, figure it out, lady. And then as you get to that stage, you're like, oh my, because nothing that you've done in the past works. Yeah. And so you have to be able to kind of tear off the Band-Aid and try something different. But it's really scary when you don't know what to do. So I think as women, you know, whether you're going through, I think they always talk about women as empty nesters, and oh, that's a big shift. And that's a huge shift. But there are a lot of women, I don't have children. I have two wonderful dogs and a wonderful niece and nephew. And I still went through, you know, burnout. And I think there's always, I think with women as well, there's a shame of burnout. There's this idea that we should be able to do it all. That's what we've been told, you know, especially as Gen X women. We were the generation that was brought up saying, you can have it all. You can have the family. You can have the job. You can have everything you've wanted. But no one really gave us a blueprint of how to do it. And so there's this shame of, like, I can't figure it out. And by the time we get to midlife, we started to say, this certain parts of my life aren't working, but I don't know what to do about it. But we keep it quiet. And that's where the burnout festers, when we keep it quiet and we don't share it with other people. And I think this generation of women is starting to say, I'm not going to stay quiet anymore. Let's bring it out into the open so that we can heal ourselves and we can help the generations behind us as well.
Yeah, that not having a blueprint for, you know, the you can have it all, you can do it all, you can be it all mythology we were all fed growing up. It has been really challenging because it starts to make this whole generation of women who feel so much pressure to be perfect, to be ambitious, to want more than maybe the generations of women before, simply because now we were allowed and encouraged to want more, whereas generations before, that would have not been the case. And like you said, even if you're a mother, that's one level of stress that we're put under. But even for those who decided not to have children like yourself, there's this whole other pressure that comes into play where it feels like you have to also, like, compensate in some way in other areas of your life.
Absolutely. And so what happens is, and again, I can't speak for women who have, you know, I of course have my sister who has kids, and I know lots of women who have kids, and they really put all of their energy into their children. And I didn't have kids, so I put all of my energy into work, because when people say, well, what do you do? You feel like you have to kind of, you have to tell them, this is all the things I'm doing. Look how productive I am. Look how successful I am. And nobody wants to hear, like, well, I just spent Saturday on my back porch reading a book. you know, it's like, well, what did you do? How did you get there? Well, did you clean your house before you do that? So, and I think when you have a little bit of a perfectionism tendency, and again, that because of the generations before us, they opened up amazing doors for us to say, you can have it. You can get that job that you want. You can try new things. You can travel. But when there were so many opportunities, we started to feel overwhelmed with doing it all at 100%. So we never kind of figured out like, oh, I can give 25% here and 35% here, and then I can move that around. The model that I grew up with was like 25, 25, 25, 25. And you have to keep juggling these balls in the air all the time. And it's just not viable. It's just not, because at different stages of your life, and this is what I work with women, at different stages of your life, you're going to have to put attention to different parts of your life. And until we accept that, we are constantly in this battle of keeping everything in their quadrants. And it just doesn't work, because at some point we get burned out. We get burned out.
Well, and I think especially with the way the world of work has gone, whether you are employed by somebody else or work for yourself, mm-hmm. I feel like the pressure there for women to show up, and it's almost like we have to overcompensate. We have to work harder because we're women. And especially this plays out for women of color. Like, we all know the bias that's in the workplace about you have to work so much harder to be recognized for the same level. Mm-hmm. And there's this whole thing about, you know, there's income inequality, there's the wage gap, there's, you know, the pressure of, well, if you have a child or you have a family or you have a family emergency, like you have to suddenly step mm-hmm. in and take care of parents. Those things, men don't get penalized for that, but women do. If we say, right. Hey, I have to like pull back on my career right now.
Absolutely.
Because I've got to go take care of my parents.
Yeah.
And it's definitely a double standard, because men generally don't have those kinds of pressures.
They're not. And it is. And I think that for as far as I've always said, like, for as far as we've come with women's movement, women do the majority of the caregiving and doing both parts, caregiving and still managing their own work, whether they work for themselves or work for someone else. And I think, again, as Gen X women, we are starting to say, I always say, like, we followed all the rules. I did everything I was supposed to do. I went to school. I have a career. I'm married. I have kids, or I don't have kids. And, you know, I followed all of these rules, and it is still not working out. Something doesn't feel right. And I think I have had conversations with friends who are just like, they feel guilty about, I should be happy. I should be grateful for everything that I have. And something feels, but I wake up in the morning and something feels off. And again, that shame of saying, I'm not happy. Because when people, how are you doing? You would never say in conversation, I'm not happy.
I'm fine.
And I always would say in my classes, like, you can't use the F word. You can't use fine.
You can't say
you're fine. It's so nondescriptive. But we would never say, again, it's not the right thing to do of saying, I don't feel happy. But in those deep conversations that you have once in a while with a friend, you'll be like, something feels off. And the longer we ignore it, it does. It just festers in the dark. And when we can start to bring it out into the light to say something feels off, that's when we can start to transform it. And that's where I start to step in and say, well, let's take the first step and say, what does that look like for your life right now? And I think that for me was the biggest shift of saying, I don't have to wait until everything in my life is perfect. I have my house is clean. I've got the perfect haircut. We talked about my spice cabinet is organized. Like, nothing, all of that can still be a bit messy. You can be in the messy middle and still start to work towards a happier, more, I don't want to say balanced, but a more joyful midlife.
Yeah. I feel like that perfectionism is such a huge part of it. We have to get over this. because there's so many people, especially women, who feel like I have to wait until, and then we pick some arbitrary thing. I have to wait until this thing in my life is perfect before I can do this. So I have to wait until I'm making this much money, or I have to wait until I'm this size, or I have to wait until I've finished doing this project at home. I have to wait until I have this much money.
Or until the kids are out of the house.
Until the kids are out of the house.
Tired, right.
But what happens is, and I've caught myself in this myself, is we keep pushing the goalpost for when we're going to let ourselves be happy.
Absolutely.
What we want to do. And then it almost gets to the point where you've put so much time and effort focusing on all of these external things. We don't even know what makes us happy anymore.
Oh, yeah, that's it. You're exactly right. I love that, Rachel. We can spend all of this time in the as soon as stage of life. As soon as this is done, then I'll make time for it. And what happens is when we focus on just the external solutions, and that's what we talk about a lot, is the solutions that we see in pop culture, they work, but you have to make them work for you. You know, when you're in those fits of like something's not right, so you keep trying something. You see those, like, take a walk in nature. Okay, but you do it one time and it's not going to make a difference. Get a massage. You get it once every 3 months and it's not going to make a difference. But when you take the time to just pause and say, well, what's my truth? What's my truth? How does that relate to me? That's when the magic happens. That's when the transformation happens. But for a lot of women, we have to give ourselves permission to say, I'm going to take this pause to just reflect on, okay, I get walking in nature is beneficial, but how does that apply to my life when I have this much time during this part of the day? So it may look wildly different for every person. There's a truth to all of those suggestions, but the key is to make those truths your own. And to do that, you have to turn that mirror from the outside to the inside and say, well, what responds with me?
Yeah. What actually works for me and what fits the way I want my life to look. And sometimes it means you have to change the way your life looks right now.
Absolutely.
In order to adjust. And I think, like, an easy thing for me that's coming up is, I remember, for anyone who happens to have small children, mornings are the worst time. Right. Pretty much everybody knows, like, especially, pre-pandemic, getting your kids up and out the door. Right. Most parents are, this is super stressful. It's really chaotic trying to get everybody going. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of was like, this is stupid. I don't want my mornings to be stressful. I don't want to start my day like that. So I started putting little things in place to think, how do we really want to experience this morning together? Mm-hmm. And how do I need to experience it so I can show up the way I want to show up? And for me, it meant waking up earlier than everybody else, not so I could have a super complicated routine, but so that I could have a cup of coffee in silence for like 30 minutes and just kind of plug into myself. I found that just creating that quiet time for myself, reading a book, drinking a cup of coffee. And I found that my kids attuned to that. And then they will get up and the first thing they do is sit down and grab a book. And we all just sit there and read in the morning. And then we have, you know, the same breakfast and we have our little routine, but it's no longer starting on this frantic, where's my backpack? What's for breakfast? Right. Instead, it's like, hey, we're starting our morning in this nice slow pace. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the people around kind of attune to the direction I set.
Absolutely. Because it's the energy behind the actions. And that's what the solutions that we see on the outside, that's what they're not talking about. It's the morning routine is fantastic, but it's the energy behind the morning routine. Yeah. So again, you wanted to say, I want to start the day calmer. So that means having a cup of coffee in silence before the whole household wakes up. Absolutely. I mean, that makes beautiful sense. Yeah. And I did the same thing where I would wake up before my husband so I could meditate. Even if it was only 10 minutes and he would come, coming down the steps and I'd be done. But it was enough. It was enough for me to say a little bit of time. And this is the way I want to start my day. And now I take a walk with the dogs in the morning, and it's less about how far we go, and it's more about getting out, seeing the day start and reminding myself like there's a newness to this day. There's a freshness and I can be out here for 15 minutes and that's enough. And so I think what you hit upon as well is there's a simplicity to these solutions. They don't have to be overly complicated. And as a perfectionist, we love to overcomplicate our lives. We love to overcomplicate solutions. And what really works, I found, is that simple, sustainable solutions, because we know we can do them. Waking up a little bit earlier, that's doable. That means I have to go to bed a little bit earlier. Okay, I can adjust. I can adjust. If I want to take the dogs for a walk in the morning, that means I have to get up when my alarm goes off and not snooze four times. Okay, I can work on that. So it's those simple, sustainable solutions. And then when I started like a morning routine with the dogs, taking them outside, it was at that point where like, I need something different. And I just said, well, I can walk with the dogs. Like it never occurred to me. And then when it did, it became a year round. So now I have, my snow apparel, and I have my fall apparel, and we just go out and rain or shine. Well, not rain, I should say, snow and sunshine, but no rain. So it is, I found that sustainable, simple solutions, they work every time. But for most of us, it's, you have to take the time to say, well, what does that look like for me at midlife? Because it's very different than what sustained us at 25 or at 30. God.
Well, at 25, you didn't need to sleep and you could, get up at 7 a.m. after going to bed at 3 a.m. And it's no big deal because you're 25. But definitely now it's interesting because this is a time where I realize how much more important rest is for me and how important quiet time is for me.
Right. Yeah.
And being a highly sensitive introvert, I have to protect that so fiercely. Yeah. And it's definitely something that can get triggered when other pressures are put on me, like having to step in to take care of my mother suddenly means I'm now dealing with so many more people on a regular basis. Even just the volume of phone calls has increased dramatically. And it might seem so silly, but if you are like me and you're so used to really not having a lot of phone calls every day to suddenly several a day from people taking care of your parent, those things make you have to renegotiate your boundaries and renegotiate, okay, what is working? What is not working? How can we make sure that I'm not going to get depleted by this new requirement I have in my life?
Yeah. And so again, when you talk about depletion, that's that energy drain. And so how do I refuel? We can't take in our day-to-day life, we don't always have the opportunity to say, I'm going to take your retreat every month. It's just not, I mean, they're wonderful. And when we get the chance to do it, it's amazing, but we just, in the day-to-day stuff, it's not always possible. So we have to find ways of treating ourselves with some quietness. And again, and as an introvert and as a highly sensitive person, I also work in the public. And so there was a long time where I didn't understand that. And so when you give out all of your energy all the time, you can't just replenish it on one day because everything else has to get done that one day as well. I found that you can't just try to stockpile. Well, I'm going to push through these next 2 weeks and then I'll get time to rest. Again, we get into that as soon as this is all wrapped up, then I'll take time to rest. And what we found and what I found in midlife is to say, okay, I've got to crazy week or things are stressful, but can I find 5 minutes of quietness? And sometimes it was a car ride from my house to the store, or when I was caretaking for my dad, once a month I'd go to the laundromat. And by no means did I love the laundromat, but it was this quiet time because it was early morning on a Sunday. I'd wash the dog beds and my comforter, and it became this really quiet time for me that I just took my Kindle and I realized like that was enough. That was enough. So you start to look at your day-to-day a lot differently. And I think as you move through midlife and you go into caretaking, there has to be some elasticity. And I think as a perfectionist, that's the hardest thing for us to do because we love to say equations, A plus B equals C. And now we have to say, well, A plus A equals B, and I'll get to C, but I've got to really be here right now.
Yeah.
And so part of it was also shifting that perspective from what if to right now.
Yeah.
And just allowing yourself to be present.
Yeah, that is so huge, because I find a lot of women who are like, as soon as I get through this thing, especially being business owners too, like as soon as I get through this busy season, or as soon as I get through this big promotion, or as soon as I get through this project, then I'll take time off. Yeah. But what I find is we don't ever do the thing we wanted to do at the end of the, as soon as, and we don't celebrate the things that we do either. I think that is so huge. Like, we find ourselves, we hit some goal, we achieve something, and then it's just like, oh, I did it. And then next goal, next milestone. And it's, again, we keep pushing the goalpost further and further away, and we never arrive at, oh, let's be excited and happy about what I just did.
Absolutely. And you know, I think that really plays into a burnout as well, is that when you finally take a moment to say, I feel burned out, you want to take the time to acknowledge the stage that you're in, while at the same time saying, I've also come this far. I'm not, you know, now I'm able to wake up 30 minutes earlier in the morning. That's a big step. Or to say, and this is where I want to still move into. So it's that practice of honoring where you are and celebrating those little milestones. I think sometimes we wait for those big milestone birthdays, like I have to turn 40 or I have to turn 50 in order to celebrate. And it's really about taking that time. You know, for me, a celebration would have been when I was in the throes of caretaking, was to have a chai latte, to go somewhere and treat myself, because I'm like, I love this. This is so yummy. And it was a treat. And it was like, you got through this week. It's Friday. Yourself a chai. And it was enough. And I think sometimes we overlook that small milestone, because those tiny milestones build momentum to bigger awareness of how we want to shift our energy and how we want to open our focus to the bigger picture.
I love that.
And when you're in burnout, it can get really tunnel visioned. And when we're a perfectionist, we can get really honed into one thing. And it's helpful to have those tools and techniques to remind you to pause and to take a moment and create some space around where you're at.
This episode of Promote Yourself to CEO is sponsored by the CEO Collective, a 12-month implementation experience for women entrepreneurs ready for next-level strategy and results without the nonstop hustle. The ultimate aim of the CEO Collective is for you to become the CEO of your business. Because when you stop flying by the seat of your pants and take control with proven strategies, support, and systems, your business will become more sustainable, more scalable, and you'll actually enjoy the creative process of running your business again. If what I've been sharing with you in the Burnout Proof Your Business series resonates and you're ready to have a business you love and a lifestyle to match, then head over to theceocollective.com/waitlist to be the first to hear about when we reopen the doors to new members in August 2021. So we've talked about a couple practical things here. We talked a little bit about, you know, how we've adapted our morning routine and finding those little pockets for a little silence or a little alone time, a little self time. What are some of the things you work with your clients on when they aren't sure what they need and they're just so kind of out of touch with what gives them joy or what makes them happy that they don't even know where to start because they're so consumed usually with the to-dos and the obligations and the responsibilities? How do you pull them out of it and help them find their joy again?
You know, that's a really great question. And it's so individualized.
Yeah.
Because what works for one person, we know is not going to work across the board. So it's a lot like what we do in business. When you get bottlenecked into what you want to do, you have to do a brain dump. And this is where, and for some people, it's one-on-one counseling where they can just spout it out. And usually I found it, the answer comes out. And for some people, it's journaling. And I'll say, just set aside 10 minutes. And the morning pages that infamous Julia Cameron morning pages work, or anytime you can just do a brain drain for 5 minutes and just say, I feel stuck. And even if you write, I feel stuck for 5 minutes, something eventually cracks open. And that's what we're looking for. When you feel stuck, we're not looking for the big aha moment. I think sometimes we feel like it has to be this is it. This is my next thing. It's just a little crack that lets the light through to say, oh, I remember feeling joyful when I did this. Okay, well, how do I look at that at this point in my life, at this stage of my life? So I always encourage students to either clients to kind of, you can reminisce of what worked before, but a lot of the times a brain drain is just what we need to get that flow. So when you're bottlenecked, you need to get that flow of energy moving again.
Absolutely.
And something as simple as a brain drain does the trick.
I love that. And sometimes it's, again, like what works for one thing often works for another. Like this is what I often do with my clients, and you know this in the collective or when I'm working with people, is sometimes we just have to sit down and come up with all the things, and then we can narrow down, or at least we get like a starting point. Yeah. And I think for me, this can be one thing where it's like, what has brought me joy in the past? And also, what do I wish I could try or do that I've never tried before? And I've been experimenting with that this year. Like I needed a hobby that I could do on my own with my hands. I needed something to keep me busy, but in a very like kind of meditative way. So I started picking up cross stitching, and my daughter and I sat down and started cross stitching. And it's like, I'd never done it before. But just the act of sitting there and talking with her and you know, watching a movie or something, it was so relaxing. And then, you know, you have a cute little end product that.
Absolutely. I love that. And it can be some, and again, it's so simple. So when you say, what haven't I done before? We're not saying go out and go skydiving. You can. Absolutely. But we can also say, what can I do right here, right now? I know I need to do something with my hands. And I know when I was in the last stage of this burnout, I remember when I had left teaching yoga full time. And I remember feeling this need to, I need to work my hands in the dirt. And I got a summer job as a pseudo landscaper. And it was just what I needed, because I needed to feel my hands into the earth. I needed to move my body in different ways. And it was so nourishing. And it reminded me, like, I like to be in the dirt. I love my plants. I love a little garden. So it reminded me of that simple pleasure of taking time during every season to honor wherever I'm at.
It's so interesting, because I think back to like my great grandparents always had hobbies, and that has died off a lot in the last few generations, I guess. But like, I have paintings that my great grandmother painted, and it was just for fun. You know, it's not like they were some huge, amazing work of art, but it's, you know, a little vase with flowers in it. Absolutely. And it makes you remember that before we got into this particular era that we're in, where productivity is like worshiped at the altar here, it was, hey, yeah, you do your work, but also you know, my grandparents painted, they're probably a paint by number, but they painted, or my grandfather used to make model airplanes. And that used to be people used to have hobbies, like things that they would make or do for fun, things they'd play music with. And that has gone so far by the wayside that it's like all we're expected to do is work and take care of people, work and take care of people.
And that's I find that's a lot of women do that as well. You know, men will still have big hobbies. They golf on the weekends, or they really love, you know, they have their team. And I know a lot of women that have their sports team, but they have their team that they root for, or they have the music that they play. And the women are kind of like, well, whatever the kids are into, I'll get into. But that's not always what's sparking their joy. And I agree. My grandparents, I remember my grandfather did photography for a while, and then he did ceramics, and he built a dollhouse for us. So he was always fussing around. And this was post-retirement. So his retirement was such a different feel And now we have these beautiful remnants of his work. Yeah. And so that's so sustainable. But I feel like as women, we put that off. Like, I don't have the time. It's always, and now everything's so busy. Like, what are you doing? When people go, what are you up to? They kind of expect you to be like, this is what I'm up to. And
yeah,
for us to say, I want to cultivate a hobby. And that's the scariest question. I think when I ask women, what do you enjoy doing? It's the question that stops women in their tracks, like a deer in headlights. Like, well, I have my family and I have my kids and I have my career. And I go, that's great. What do you love to do? And we don't know. Or that what we love to do again in our 30s isn't the same as we move into our 50s.
Yeah.
And we have to be able to kind of step into that newness and say, well, what does excite me? Do I want to do some crafts? Try it out. And if it's not your thing, it's okay. And I think that's the thing too, is that as a perfectionist, you have to be able to say, if it's not the right fit, try something else. It's okay.
It's the all or nothing that is really hurting so many of us. Cause I see that. And I also see, especially if you're an entrepreneur business owner, is that we tend to get thinking, well, if I do this, how can I turn it into another business?
Right.
And I feel like that's the fastest way to not like your hobby anymore.
Absolutely. And, or like, if we think about, well, if I want to do this craft, how am I going to post it on Instagram? You're like, you know, you don't have to post it on Instagram. You can just keep it for yourself. And that's okay. Too. If you want to, you can, but you don't have to. So it's that background noise of how is it going to be productive? How am I going to share it with everyone else? And a lot of the things that we work with as women is to say, how can we just do this for ourselves? And that's such a huge step, but taking that small step of, I'm going to, again, 30 minutes in the morning, I'm going to take a walk with the kids or with the dog, to do things that nurture you. And that's something that you have to learn what feeds you.
Yeah. This is such a great conversation. And I hope that everyone is really listening in and asking yourself this question, like, what feeds you? Mm-hmm. What makes you come alive again? What brings you joy? What brings you that peace? Because these are the things that if we don't ask ourselves, we will find ourselves in that moment where we're just so overwhelmed and so stressed out that we can't see a foot in front of our face,
right?
And don't know what to do next. And that's a really terrible place to be. It's a lot easier if you're taking care of yourself just as you would take care of your child or your friend or your parent, and make sure that you're, you know, filling yourself up so that you're giving from the overflow instead of from, you know, your reserve tank.
Well, and I just had this conversation with someone, and if you are always giving and you aren't filling up, then it becomes resentful. You still can caretake, but that energy is a little different underneath. And that's what, no, and then we don't feel good. And the people we're caring for don't feel good. So we want to say to ourselves, that's something I don't want. So how do I take care of myself in the meantime? That I can, like you said, so that I can show up feeling connected to myself, so that I can give freely to those around me. And that's really the beauty of being a woman, is to say that we have the ability to do that, that we can take care of ourselves and we can take care of others. But as we move into midlife, I think sometimes we just need that. I always call it the middle age upgrade. Sometimes we need a little middle age upgrade to say, well, how do I take care of myself so that I can more fully enjoy my life with those around me?
I love it. I love it. And I hope everyone listening to this is really asking yourself these questions, because it is different when you are headed towards your 40s and your 50s. You have to care for yourself at a whole new level compared to when you were in your 20s and had the boundless energy and could run off zero sleep. Like, that's just not the case. And especially for those of us who are running businesses and taking care of so many different people in our lives, we have to take care of ourselves first.
You do. It becomes less of something to do as soon as, and it now becomes something to do right now.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining me. Can you tell everyone listening where they can learn more about your work and how they can connect with you?
Absolutely. You can find me on the web at www.melissamarasia.com. And I have a very inactive Instagram page. So find me there. Yeah, check it. I have a roadmap. If this anything resonated with you, let's talk. Let's see where you're at and connect. So you can go to my website and find that information out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Rachel. It was wonderful talking to you.
For the latest episodes and full show notes, head over to rachelcook.com/show. If what I've been sharing with you in the Burnout Proof Your Business series resonates and you're ready to have a business you love and a lifestyle to match, then head over to theceocollective.com/waitlist to be the first to hear about when we reopen the doors to new members in August 2021. Thanks again for listening to this week's episode of Promote Yourself to CEO. Talk soon.